Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have a capacity to build? So, good morning. Good morning to our dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And I think it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with the Twilight. It's the right time to thank Matthias Sangala. So, we are greeting you. We are greeting you wherever you are finding yourself. We are greeting you this morning from your number one talk radio station in Namibia. That is Eagle FM Namibia. And wherever you are finding yourself, wherever you are finding yourself, and we are always saying it's always a pleasure to be here. And the fact that you are awake, and the fact that you tune into Eagle FM Namibia, especially at this program, Early Morning Scoop, we are here. We are here until the hour of 8. So, wherever you are finding yourself, we are greeting you. And we're always indicating to you that every morning that you wake up, look at yourself and appreciate what you have. And also look at what stage you are in life, and also what are those things that you did right and what are those things that you did not do right. And the other thing, maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves also this morning is, do we really take advice, especially as Namibians? Have you ever taken an advice without feel offended? Just somebody told you that what you are doing is not right, or what you are doing, you should have done it better. Then you just say, thank you, I think I'm going to improve. Just the aspect of taking advice. You know, you find people shouting each other at the parking spot. Somebody just said, you, David, where you park is not according to road signs, or it's not according to how the city arrangements are. And you say, no, me, I have a master's degree in mathematics. Yes, you have a master's degree in mathematics, but you are wrong. Just take that advice and move forward, because that is the only way. Because the fact that we come to the point of taking advice, so the fact that we move forward in life faster, not only in terms of a personal advice, can also be a technical advice, can be a professional advice, can be an advice about doing things. Because if we take advice, sometimes that who is giving us advice is a person who is seeing us, you know, from the another angle. So, just something that brought about. But yeah, this is a program that we discuss everything that is related to bread and butter, economic development, infrastructure development, and most importantly, human development. We look at policy analysis. We look at what is that which is happening within a Namibian market, what is that which is happening within a regional market, and also continental market. What are the challenges and opportunities which are there? That is why we are always indicating to you that the fact that you open this platform, we have to make sure that we elevate the conversation. Let us elevate the conversations beyond the mere conversation. We have been giving an example of saying, no, life is not about who is the most fantamagorious, beautiful, and lookable lady in town, or who is the guy with a lot of money, or who is a guy, you know, with expensive properties in town. But it's about what can we do to an ordinary Namibian? What conversation can we bring about that can allow everybody to participate, and also can allow, you know, larger population of people to be assisted? And in one of those is sharing of information. One of those is sharing of real information, not just any information, but information that will be able to assist us, information that will be able to allow us to interrogate matters, and also to see what can we do to contribute to the national development. This is exactly what we are doing. And this platform, after every conversation that we bring about, we make sure that we give you an opportunity to exercise your democratic rights and freedom of expression by giving your opinion, your views, questions, direct constructive criticism, so that we see how we can move forward. So you can make sure that you connect with us at all our social media platforms, that is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And when you connect to Eagle FM Namibia, you like and share that page so that those who follow you can also be able to follow us. And they will not miss out. They will not miss out when it's coming to developmental issues, when it's coming to governance issues, food security, sport, and also innovation. We also have the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper that is coming out every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and every Friday morning. And you can subscribe to that by sending your name and save this number which I'm giving you now. Save this number as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-241-44. Send your name to that number and save it. It's 081-241-44. When you do that, every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, and indeed every Friday morning, you'll be able to receive that soft copy of economic content of what is happening in Namibia, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and also what is happening around the world. So do that and you not miss out. And we are always telling you to say, you, if you are a student, you are a researcher, you are a policy analyst, you are a politician, make sure that that is part of sources of information, because that is where you will be able also to get a broader picture of where are we standing as a country, what are Namibians saying, because you may be able to understand your constituency, or you may be able to understand the structure of the political institution that you are leading within where you are, but you will not be able to understand the broader picture or the tips of developmental issues of what is happening around you, especially in Namibia. So when you read the Villager newspaper, you get the luxury of content, and also you'll be able to expand your knowledge, and also how you can contribute to national development by seeing challenges and also opportunities being spoken about. So on top of that, you can connect with us at Eagle FM app. There are those who are asking questions to say, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Why are we not connected to you? Guys, the frequency is not frequencing at this side. We are telling you to say there is an app that you can download into your phone. The same way you have WhatsApp into your phone, you can download Eagle FM app that you can connect to. And the other thing, the very interesting thing about the app is that it can work anywhere. Whether you are in New York, you are in Cairo, you are in Pyongyang, you are in Australia, wherever you are finding yourself, as long as you have connected to internet, you download that app. You can listen to the programs which are on air, and also the previous programs through podcast. And yeah, you can download Imba app too. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. If you are a churchgoer, you are a pastor, you are an ordinary person who is at an event and you are required to sing from a hymn book and you do not have it, do not worry. Do not worry, because you know why? We got you. We got you technologically, and we got you with the digital version of a hymn book in the language, in the local language that you understand. If you are an Oshiwambo speaker, we have the version of Ihangano. If you are Uchierero, Machewamama, you have the version of Omaimburiro. If you are English speaker, you are Afrikaans, we have you. We have hymn book in Afrikaans, and that Imba app can also be able also to give you a version of various local Namibian languages such as Silozi and many others. So do that, download Imba app, make sure that you have a luxury of accessing those app, and you make your life more easier. You can work very fast, efficiently, and also smart way, because in the world of advancement of technology, you don't need to work with a hammer anymore. You don't need to work with a hammer anymore, because you need to save your energy. You need to save your energy. You work smart, fast, save time, and work efficiently. So download Eagle FM app, download Imba app, and that will add value to your life, and life will be more easier, faster, and also efficient. Then you focus on other things rather than being struggling, because technology is here to assist us, not to make our life difficult. Before we go to what we have on the table today, it's also very important to advertise with us. You can buy airtime on air. You can buy airtime on air through the radio. You can also buy space in the Villager newspaper, so that you can reach potential customers around the world, wherever they are. Because if you invest in advertisement, is like we are always saying to say, money invested in advertisement is money on the way back to you in interest, with increment in terms of percentage. And when you do that, make sure that if you are a small business operator, you are a medium business operator, you are a multinational corporation, market and advertise with us. Because if you invest in advertisement, you do not you will be able to be surprised on how many clients, potential clients you are going to reach, how many people are going to be interested in your product and also your service. So do that and you will not miss out. So dear listeners, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of 8. We are here until the hour of 8. We are going to look at what is happening continentally, what is happening internationally, and then we also look at what do we have for today. What content do we have for today? What is the main conversation for today? And after conversation that we bring about, we also give you an opportunity to express your view, to ask your questions, and also to give your direct constructive criticism, comment, and also contribution, because at the end of the day, your views matters. Your views matters because it's how, it's views of people. Everything that you see around you, they were created by human, human beings, particularly in terms of technology. Apart from natural objects, I don't want to contradict myself, but most of the things that you see, either it's a laptop, it's a TV, it's a building, many of these things that you are seeing, they were created from, the mind of an individual, the mind of a human being, but they were also advanced through debates, through, adding values to those objects, because at the end of the day, contestation of ideas must be encouraged in the country. Contestation of ideas and also views must be encouraged, because we may be on the same page talking about the right thing, but you have an advanced technique on how to do those things. That is why we are always telling you to say, when something is being presented and you feel like you have a strong view about that, express your view, because you don't know how many people you are going to help. You don't know how many minds you are going to awaken, and you do not know how valuable is that one comment of yours can have to the development of the country, because it's through a sharing of knowledge, and it's also through seeing and also listening to various opinions about certain object, because it could be that you are an expert in the field that we are going to discuss about. It could be that you have more experience in that area. It could be that maybe you wrote even books about that. It could be that you are a technical expert in that area. Then your view matters. That is why we are here to educate you. We are here to you to educate me. We are here to upgrade the conversation, because we are saying the conversation must not only be about the weather. The conversation must not only be about how is the weather condition, is cold and is hot. The conversation must go deep to policy perspective, must go deep to policy proposal, policy implementation, and the impact of people on the ground. The conversation must look at an ordinary person who is in the street to say, how come this person, a full Namibian, not sick but end up in the street? The conversation must go beyond to say, why 20,000 of men are in jail, capable. What went wrong? The conversation must go beyond why this meme at this side of the road have been selling Kapana for the past 20 years. Why there is no improvement in terms of the stock? Is it just a survivor? Is this what she wants, or she did not get that opportunity? The conversation must also go beyond why somebody is still banging under the mattress where you have a financial institution, which is still speaking about financial inclusion. So that's why we want to extend that conversation. We want to make sure that what we speak about is not only for the sake of speaking, but for the sake of, developing the country, infrastructure, economically, and most importantly, human advancement. So let us look at the commercial break. Let's pay the bills. Then we look at what is happening globally, what is happening continentally, what is happening regionally, and what is happening in our motherland, what is going on, what is happening in our motherland, particularly in terms of development, in terms of SME operation, in terms of governance and all those things. We understand that there's an ongoing World Cup of diplomacy. We've been speaking about that, especially with Dwight. It's ongoing, United Nations General Assembly, ongoing United Nations General Assembly, and there's a lot of pronunciation. The world is shifting in terms of perspective. Leaders are speaking up, international institutions are speaking up, and we see the recognition of Palestine as a state. Even the Western world realized to say Palestine must be recognized as a state, and start being given, embassies around the world. And that is a fight that have been there for quite some time, since 1945 onward. But looking at where the world is and the circumstances or the situation that the world is going through, you'll be able also to see that it's quite an important move. It's quite a very important move. And to see the people of Palestine, to see the future. But it's not only happening with Palestine. It's also the fight of Western Sahara that have been there. Case of Morocco and Western Sahara. They've been there for quite some time. But that is a conversation of another day. Let us look at, let's pay the bills and look at what we have on the table, particularly when it's coming to international news, before we go to the real conversation for today. So let us look at this and move forward.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipuramenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewekike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabwili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Lipuramenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewekike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa mune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijabwili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated, we are here until the hour of 8. Let us look at what is happening. What is happening particularly economically in the continent of Africa. It is stated that Ethiopia faces unsustainable external debt, that what World Bank and International Monetary Fund has warned. Stated that the World Bank and International Monetary Fund have warned about Ethiopia debt distress, labeling it unsustainable. And the two financial bodies further revealed that Ethiopia faced political, economic, and humanitarian challenge. And its debt is assessed to be unsustainable, mainly due to protracted breach of export-related and external debt indicators. And For your own understanding, when you look at what is being stated here, the crisis of Egypt, the crisis of Ethiopia debt is more based on, external breaches. It's more based on what do you sell outside, And also, how do you feel the gap in terms of trade and the gap that is being left there in terms of trade? But what you need to understand is also that when international monetary funds are warning, when World Bank is warning the unsustainable of external debts, you also need to ask yourself a question. You also need to ask yourself a question. What are the proposed mechanisms that these international bodies are coming up with in order to make sure that they assist with, reduction or sustaining or, working out on that unsustainable external debts? Because remember, international financial institutions have been at the center of development proposals and projects, especially in Africa. But when you look at where Africa is in terms of that which have been done, you can be able to remember that although international institutions have been there advising even governments on the reforms, challenges have still been there. Because if you remember very well with what is called structural adjustment, which were the proposal of International Monetary Fund in the 80s there, to make sure that for countries must reform for them to get loans from International Monetary Fund and international financial institution. They must reform their governance policies. They must also liberalize trade. And when you look at what that structural adjustment have done in Africa, there's a case study of Nigeria, there's a case study of Zambia, where competition was opened up with locals, and multinational corporations have won that competition, and local businesses suffered, and it was worse than what was proposed. Because remember, the economy of the world is dynamic, and the economy of SADC is not the economy of East Africa. The trade balance of SADC is not the trade balance of East Africa or North Africa or West Africa. And it's also completely different from the rest of the world. That is why it's quite very important also to look at this news. And also, I want you also to look at why International Monetary Fund and World Bank is warning Ethiopia and is not warning France. And it's not warning Italy. Because France is I don't want to say chaotic, but when you look at where France is, France debt to GDP ratio is beyond 100%. It's 114%. And we have seen the protest, we have seen the pressure of the government, we have seen Francois, the Prime Minister, was removed by Parliament because of him forcing financial reforms. But maybe why World Bank and IMF warning Ethiopia? What is that they want Ethiopia to do? I'm not saying Ethiopia is doing well. I'm not saying it should not adjust, but I'm just saying why is this advice at the same scale as with other countries like France? Because when you look at France, after these guys from Sahel regions, after the Mali, the Burkina Faso, the Niger, the Central Africa decided to say, no, we are cutting ties with you. We are trading on our own. Enough is enough with exploitation of our minerals. And many other factors involved. I'm not saying it's only Africa which was holding France's economy. But with many other factors involved, you realize to say France was not or is not actually doing very well. And the economy is not doing very well in France. So, but let us look at what is happening in Ethiopia. Let us look at what World Bank and IMF is saying. And maybe what are the alternatives, what are the proposed alternatives of that which is presented?
The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund have warned about Ethiopia's debt distress, labeling it unsustainable. The two financial bodies further revealed that Ethiopia faces political, economic, and humanitarian challenges, and its debt is assessed to be unsustainable, mainly due to protracted breaches of exports-related external debt indicators. The report also revealed that Ethiopia's debt repayment has been made more difficult by the accumulation of both short-term and medium-term debt service payments. Ethiopia's low debt carrying capacity classifies it as being in debt distress following the default on the $33 million Eurobond coupon payment. This problem is also linked to the country's economic difficulties, including the ongoing armed conflicts in regions such as Amhara and Oromia.
Yeah, what World Bank say. What the World Bank say. And maybe it's also important also to look at what is that which Ethiopia sell. What is that which Ethiopia sell to the world? What is that which Ethiopia sell to the world? And we have here coffee. There is coffee. There is oil seeds. There is so gold export. It's also live animals, leather products, and vegetables. It also these are some of the products that Ethiopia sold to the world. But what you need to understand is that when International Monetary Fund is warning, it means that it's warning with a proposal on the table. They don't just warn you like that. They warn with a proposal on the table to say, this is what you must do. This is what you must do. And just for you to get the context of the advantage and disadvantages of international financial institution, especially in the world where currently leaders of the world are complaining about unfair treatment, unfair interest rates when you are getting loans, and also assistance from international financial institutions such as World Bank and also IMF, that is known to be Bretton Woods institutions. And just go back and read what was the impact of structural adjustment programs in Africa. Because at one point, the government of Kenneth Kaunda by then was actually advised to say, if you want to develop your country, you must reform. You must cut the budget of social affairs. You must cut the budget of, education, health, and also other things. Then you look at privatization. You must privatize your copper industry. You must privatize critical areas. You must privatize airlines and many other things. And you must liberalize your economy. Liberalize your economy. Imagine you just come from colonialism. Liberalize your economy. Allow international businesses to come in, and also so that you can be, and also allow the multi-party system to come in. Those were some of the content of, requirements. That's why there is this thing of saying, are these loans coming with strings attached? Because they are giving you loans, but they are also teaching you, or they are also giving you technical team to come and implement those loans. They are also giving you to say, I'm giving you this money, but you're going to use it this way. That is why at the end of the day, you will be wondering why many countries are getting loans, but at the end of the day, they are not really spending that money on what is that which is required. And I don't want to tell you this. I want you to go and do your own research. Look at the fundings that are coming to Namibia. And I want you to get a perspective. Look at some NGOs. Look at funding which are coming to Namibia. Look at where they are directed to. And look at why are we suffering and somebody is funding me to pursue an agenda which is not sustainable? Why people are suffering, but there's millions of money, but is allocated to a certain agenda which is not sustainable, which is not economic viable, which is not futuristic, which is not productive at all. Then you ask those questions to say, yes, it's good to get advice, it's good to get finance, but can we really use the money on what is that which we need? Or can that fund or that advice not come and bite me back after a certain period of time? So, let us look at another news, especially, there's no day without looking at DRC. There's no day without, looking at, DRC. And, there's a lot of things happening. And it was stated that in Democratic Republic of Congo, Vital Kamerhe has resigned as the president of the National Assembly just ahead of planned vote on petition targeting his leadership. The president of the National Assembly has resigned. The announcement was made on Monday evening by Assembly First Vice President, with Kamerhe addressing lawmakers shortly after he framed his resignation as sacrifice to refocus the nation on what is called real challenges, which is unity, sovereignty, and economic progress. And the question that you're asking yourself is, DRC going to see the light one day? He's going to see the light one day, because in terms of governance, there's a bit of a crisis in terms of governance. And if you see the president of National Assembly is resigning, and there's a lot of events which are happening. Eastern side of the country is a stronghold of rebels. Boma City is under rebels. When you look at the military, around 34 generals were called and, questioned why they were failing in terms of winning battles against, M23. When you look at the military judiciary, system, here they're prosecuting, Joseph Kabila on treason in absentia. Now, when you look at the National Assembly, the president resigned, and it's quite a scary moment, because currently the president Felix Tshisekedi is in New York attending UNGA. And he denied the involvement. And remember, in 2020, the president of National Assembly, that is Kamerhe, was convicted of embezzlement back in 2020. And that verdict was later overturned. But now, the question that we are asking ourselves is that What is the future of DRC, and also what is the future of SADC? Because things are not getting better. Things are not getting better. And yeah, it's something that. Something that we need to be looked at. And the very important thing is the lesson to learn. Because at the end of the day, we must learn what other countries are doing wrong so that we should not also do that. What will happen if your governance system is not strong? What will happen when, you know, democracy is under the bus? What will happen when the military of the country is disorganized? What will happen when, you know, the downtrodden people are not taken care of? Because remember, at the end of the day, like we've been saying, to say, no, government is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, as it has been stated. And what will happen if you have democracy without African characteristics? What will happen? Because that, those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. So, before we go to what we have on the table, let us look at, and I'm not seeing anything on Malawi here because they were supposed to, I believe they were announced today, who won the elections. They were announced today because, they started voting, last week Tuesday, and due to new electoral law, which was put in motion in 2023, to release national elections after 8 days due to verification, assessment, and also looking at clarity of results, and also recounting too, and see if democracy, the principle of democracy, is adhered to. It's a free and fair elections. But it's yet to come. Maybe they will announce at 1 o'clock that who is the leading candidate. And yeah. So, they stated that before we go to the conversation for today, they stated that Yoweri Museveni, General Yoweri Museveni, the president of Uganda, seeking for another term, and he stated that this is the last time that he's going to run. And for your own understanding, General Museveni is one of the powerful men, powerful leaders in Africa. Not only his fight against colonialism or his fight against Idi Amin Dada, but his strong views on policies, his strong views on governance, his strong views on military, and his strong views also on thinking, particularly the African thinking, because apart from him being in power for quite so long, which is quite not a good thing, you have a lot of things that you need to see, because when you are looking at the leader, you must also look at what is that he's standing for. It's quite a very interesting leader to look at and listen to. Because when I look at him, I think he's a reasonable person. But his age and time in power is also questionable. But his thinking and philosophy are quite those of, you need to listen to on your own and see who is this person. And what is the future of Uganda too? What is Uganda in terms of development? What are those things that have been done? But the man is saying, give me one more time so I can lead you, so that I can go. And let's see, yeah, because a lot of elections are happening in Africa. A lot are happening in Africa. We are also expecting Tanzania. We are also expecting Mama Samia Suluhu to contest on her own card, after she took over from John Pombe Magufuli. I also expected that. And there's a lot of things happening in Africa. But let us look at what is this news of Yoweri Museveni, the president of Uganda.
Museveni speak.
President of Uganda, and how are things going that side?
Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni will seek re-election for a seventh term in polls due early next year, according to a senior official from the ruling party. Museveni was widely expected to run again, but this is the first confirmation from his National Resistance Movement Party. The country will hold its general elections in January 2026. Voters will choose both the president and lawmakers. At 80 years old, Yoweri Museveni has held power in Uganda since 1986. He is the fourth longest ruling leader in Africa. Under his tenure, the National Resistance Movement has changed the 1995 constitution twice to allow him to extend his rule. Museveni's biggest opponent in the 2026 polls should be Bobi Wine. The singer-turned-politician came second in the 2021 elections but claimed the results were fraudulent. Wine has already said he intends to run again next year. Museveni has shrugged off recurring accusations that he has maintained his grip on power through patronage and intimidation. He claims his long rule is due to lasting popular support.
Yeah, they say power cannot be seen, power cannot be touched, but once you have it, you will not want to release it. Power is very sweet. And there's also a saying to say absolute power corrupt absolutely, and too much power, you lose touch of reality too, because at the end of the day, you need to understand that human beings by nature, we are very competitive, and in terms of power, it's very difficult on how to maintain it because everybody want power, but nobody want to share that power. Because imagine somebody have been in power for 39 years. As a head of state, are you not getting tired of luxury? Are you not getting tired of luxury? Or is the people's will? Why? But yeah, something to debate about, but when you combine democratic principles with African philosophy, we knew in the African tradition, and it's a point of debate too. So in African tradition, a king must be there until he is called out from this world. That is how Africa has been. And maybe what we fail to do, we fail to negotiate with those who impose principles of democracy to us to say, this is what we have. What do you mean by terms? Maybe the leadership in Africa is still with wisdom. It's a point to debate about. Don't just judge from one perspective to say, in African tradition, elders have to sit down, and wisdom is not regarded with younger age, because you need to have experience of life to see where you came from and where you are going, and all those things. But that is what's happening from General Yoweri Museveni, and it's quite a very interesting leader. If you look back how he came to power, his ideologies when he was young and where he is now, his lifestyle. He's quite a guy with a healthy lifestyle, if you look at it. And maybe he had been planning about staying for quite so long. Because the very interesting thing about, it's not a dictator. The very interesting thing about people who stay too much for long in power is that they took care of their health. Most of them, they took care of their health. Look at, for example, the previous, or the first, Look at, for example, the late Robert Mugabe. Most of the people who have been in power for quite some time, they made sure they took care of their health. They have quite healthy habit. They have healthy habits. Take care of themselves, either exercising or eating a balanced diet. Because they knew that, look at Putin's lifestyle. And you'll be able to understand that... It's not just a reckless person who just wake up and drink whiskey every day and celebrating. They are very strategic when it comes to their health and also when it's coming to their habit, because I think they knew that they will be here for quite some time. But yeah, that is the news from the continent, and we are going to dive deep into what we have on the table for today, because today we are going to ask questions. Just ask one question to say, what is stated by our president, which is quite a very good news, to say next year, which is 2 months from now, next year is 2 months from now, tertiary education will be 100%, 100% free. When you pass grade 12, you pass A level, you are going to school. Don't worry about any other things, especially public institutions, because the government stated that it would be, that things will be taken care of. Then the question is that why a bit of a silence? Because, and we do not ask this question, because we don't ask questions. We listen, we appreciate, we say thank you, but we don't ask questions to say, what is the modus operandi that is going to be used? How is it going to happen? And a lot of pronunciation have been made, but little to few progress. And we need to ask that question to say, if it's free education, yes, it's good, but where is the money coming from? And there was also a proposal on the table that NASAF is going to be integrated to the ministry. How is the process of integration of NASAF to the ministry? We ask these questions because Namibia is about to make history in Southern Africa. And the activist of fees must fall, must be given their flowers, if that of which is put on the table. This activist of fees must fall. Fees must fall, and free education of our lifetime must be given their flower, if of that which is proposed or is stated will happen in January. Because, as I stated, time does not wait for anybody. Time does not wait for us. Time is moving. Yes, it's already 2 minutes past the hour of 7. So time is moving. It's already 2 months before the end of the year. We are not counting December, because we know December is just a week to many people. We are asking that question. We are asking that question to say, what is, where is the money going to come from? And how is the relationship between, how are the private institutions also going to operate? And why are the university are still asking us about application fees and all these things? And some of us, we want to go back to university to study international business and see. But we are also looking at how is it only going to be for the first time students, or also postgraduates, and also all those gratifications, and what are the best requirements? Because there's no luxury of time. There's no luxury of time. So we are going to ask those questions, and we are also going to look at where is it viable in Namibia, because it is not something which is impossible, because other countries have done it. Other countries have done it. But looking at the situation that we are in now, is it financially sustainable? Is it financially sustainable? And how are these things going to be? How are the university expenses going to be catered for? Because if you look at the book of SOEs, you'll be able to understand that national universities are also state-owned enterprises at the academic front. We also understand that they are also state-owned enterprises. You look at, for example, NIPAM. NIPAM is kind of a university. People do not know that it's kind of a university, although it's a public sector training institution. It's more on academia, it's more on skill development, particularly those who are in the public sector. Particularly those who are in the public sector in leadership. And it's quite very important also to look at the funding models which is going to come. How is that going to be done? Which criteria are going to be used? Because remember, there have been two criteria when you go to university. In most cases, when you qualify to university, especially NUST and the University of Namibia, when you qualify to university, does not necessarily mean that you qualify for NASF. Although in most cases you qualify for NASF because there is a university requirement that you can do a certificate and a diploma at a certain level, then there is also the funding requirements that you need to meet. That's why you find others who they fund themselves. Others they got funding from their employer. Others they got assistance here and there. Then you have a NASA funded student. You have private funded students. And when education becomes free at tertiary level, is the price of international students also going to go down? Because you need to ask those questions also. And how is it going to happen? So we are going to ask those questions, and we are going to look at the speech of our president, and also what has been happening around the continent, particularly when it's coming to what are some of the portions of funds, especially to those who did it, because we need to benchmark on those who did it, so that we can also do it. And it's quite going to be very interesting also. And maybe the question that you need to ask yourself is also that, is it only going to be free or is it going to be quality? Because there's already a question of, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do to make sure that we don't just produce, but we produce real quality, people who are contributing to national development, either in terms of entrepreneurship or in terms of being a strong workforce with skills. Yeah, because production or free education may be viable, but what will happen? Because we are already in a crisis that we are dealing with of unemployment. We are already in a crisis, and I'm happy that the state is talking about that, but what are we doing about it? What are we doing about 44% of unemployed young people? Where, when you look at the workforce now, majority of the people who are employed are not the one who have qualification. Most of the people who are qualified are outside the working force. And what is it saying about the strength of our working force? And yeah, is what we will discuss, but let us look at the commercial break, then we move forward.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida Ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoywe ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo Iho etike kovano hile koshuwana Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Mineuto otukwetira o special Geta shake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka Okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabweli nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatimwe bali heali Nola natu heali bali no heali Ile ko berewa Nora etatu natu Bali o etatu batatu Oma filane Eagle FM B.I.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
Get
of its
social
staff.
With us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Lipura nenge no wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida. Ashike kapeno nwe kutite okoywe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo. Iho etike kovano hile koshuwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito tanjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nini uto okukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi tayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mra hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma elane Eagle FM the
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving. We are moving forward, and like anybody else, I also have questions. Like anybody else, I also have questions. We are going to respectfully poke some holes in this speech, and also see what is that will happen. Because guys, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, next year, as it has been proposed, education is going to be free. But we are also asking, or maybe reminding our government to say, please do not forget, because some of us, next year we are going to school, we want to go to school. I told you I want to study international business. I want to capacitate myself. So that I can also come and give you content here. So let's look at point number 86 of the State of National Address by the Head of State of Namibia, which stated that through the universal access to education policy, the Namibian government has been providing free primary and secondary education in all public schools. Free primary and secondary education in all primary school. On top of that, while tertiary education in Namibia is already significantly subsidized by government, I'm pleased to announce that from next year, academic year, which is commencing 2026, tertiary education will become 100% subsidized by the government. That means no registration fees, no tuition fees at all public university and technical vocational education centers. While this will be gradual, while this will be a gradual phase-in approach, your contribution as families and students for now will be toward accommodation and other related costs. We have heard your cries. The fees has fallen. But I want to hear the sound of the fees going down. Because there is one thing that we really do not speak about. And I like the boldness of the leadership of University of Namibia. Because they stand on their principles. But I also want to see what are these stakeholders which are involved here. How many stakeholders are involved here? What is the position of the Ministry of Education? Because I remember Madam Steenkamp was saying this is possible, it can be done. But you only have two months before 2026. And it stated that primary and secondary education have been free. Then the question is also that, is this going to be the same as what is happening at primary and secondary education? Because although that time, those years when we were at school, although not long ago, there used to be what is called SDF, School Development Fund. They would pay around, I think it's $25, 15, not more than 50, I believe. And you pay examination around 500 there, grade 10, grade 12. And, yeah. But these days, a kid in grade, 2, then there's this amount, there's this rim, there's these books, this one is for toilets, this one is for what? Then, you just have a lot of questions to say, how free is our education system? And where is the money going to come from? Where is the money going to come from? Quality education and training. And when you also look at point number 86 is that NSFAF will be integrated back into the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Sport, Art and Culture by October 2025. Tomorrow, next week, starting next week, because those are very clear plan to say, let's see by the end of October, integration of NSFAF will be in the Ministry of Education. Then the question that you're asking yourself is also that NSFAF built a very expensive headquarter. Very expensive headquarter. A state of art. What will happen to this building? Are they still going to operate from there under the ministry, or is it going to be used for something else? And what is the impact of integration? Because what we have seen, especially when Minister of Public Enterprise was integrated into finance, there was a reduction even in terms of leadership and the ranks, because it will become a department held by a director or so. But in NASA, what how are these things going to happen? Do we still have this thing in motion, or is yet to happen? Because there is a timeline to say, this year, October, NSFAF, Green Grip Patrere inside the ministry, and so forth and stuff like that. Then the question really here is that, what is the viability? Let us look at countries which have done it. Because if Namibia managed this one, it's going to be a game changer. It's going to be a game changer in terms of, especially those who are struggling, really. Imagine you have a struggling student, and you also, you're a struggling kid who only managed to meet a university requirement, but not an NSFAF requirement. But you're also struggling financially. Then you have to pay for accommodation. Then you also have to pay for school. But now, when a downtrodden and ordinary, poor young child or a poor student who managed to pass grade 12 with minimum points, then decided to study a diploma in nursing, or decided to study education, decided to study mechanical engineering, or decided to study at a vocational training center. It stated that as a parent, do not worry about that because it's covered. Then the question is that, what is the viability of this? Where is the position of universities, vocational training centers? And when is that going to happen? In 2026 is not far. And how much attention is given to the operation of this? Because, for example, when you look at countries which have free education, countries which have free education, you have Morocco, you also have Egypt, you also have Kenya, they also partially, but they also have free education. But with Morocco, there is investment of $6 billion US dollar in that education. And they have a portion of 6.2% of the GDP. 6.2% of the GDP. Now, we also need to look at the reality on the ground. The reality on the ground. Because And where is the fund going to come from? Because I was listening to the ED of the Ministry of Finance, Dr. Muvindo. It's quite a content guy in terms of presenting issues. Because at that point I was attending this event regarding a basic income grant. Then what the ED did, what the executive director did, he just took his laptop and gave a presentation, a very quite interesting presentation about Namibia state of economy in terms of spending. Took a spreadsheet, say, no, this is the money that is spent. This is how much spent on social grant. This is how much spent on social grant. And there are already proposals of, there are already proposal. You see, civil society organization are proposing a basic income grant to assist to improve lives. But he gave a very interesting presentation to say, no, Namibia have been giving social grant since 1990. These are the numbers. These are the numbers. And one of the things that stood out from that, he also stated that when you look at our debts per GDP ratio, it's beyond 60. That is beyond the SANDEC threshold. It's around 63% there. And it's something that we need to look at. Something that we need to look at, because remember, it's something, and if there is a plan, I'm very happy for that. But we also need to be real, to look at, there is other problems also that we look at into, taking out those who are already educated out of the street, because it's becoming a crisis. Becoming a crisis, but maybe if there is a plan, if there is an alternative way of doing things, then we'll see that. And we'll be happy to go to school. We'll be happy to learn, and we'll be also happy to question those who are giving us education about the quality and the content of education they are giving us, and also to contribute to the development of the country. But as things are standing, while you have a borrowing plan of 29 billion Namibian dollars, and you have already tariffs imposed on you and your main trade partner, then on top of that, you have Angola, which is coming to an end in not more than 7 days, which I hope should be extended, and many other crises. Maybe the money which is going to be saved from cutting off middlemen will also contribute to that education. Because remember, in Namibia we have money which we are, because anyway we are still losing money, illegally. We are still losing money illegally. Maybe if we strengthen our financial system, if we strengthen our procurement, a procurement plan, maybe that is where the money is going to come from. Maybe that is where, if we sell this, vehicles which overcrowding garage, go to government garage and see. If we do those things, it could be that we are going to save money. If we utilize the resources which are coming from from our minerals, or resources which are coming from new recognized industries. Maybe that work. And what I want to see, and what I want to listen from you, is that what is your view on Namibia free education? How do you think it's going to assist Namibia? Is it going to be a burden, or is it going to be relieving, especially to parents and also those who are going to universities? And what will happen also to what will happen also to to universities, to private universities, because with private university, they were not really in isolation because they were also benefiting from the portion of NASFAF. They were also benefiting from the portion of NASFAF. How is this going to change the table of quality education? So we are going to let us look at commercial break, then we'll look at countries with free education and how did they do that? How did they do that? And if what is ours is the real deal, because it must be a real deal. And I think those who are charged with that responsibility must also continue keeping the ball rolling, because free education means free. You are going to be armed for free in how to fight a lot of battles, how to fight a lot of battles. And there's nothing which it's pain a parent than not able to give his or her kid the best education that he or she did not get. But in this case, we see what is the way forward, what will happen, and how it will happen, because we must continue to ask this question. We must also continue to see if that which is proposed will really happen, and how private sector NGOs can also help in the realization of this goal. Because at the end of the day, when there is a free education, there is a high quality of personnel being produced that are not only going to assist the private sector and the public sector, but NGOs too. Because what I have seen, especially from my perspective, NGOs, which are very important players in the development, they are very important players in development in most cases, particularly the local NGOs, they play the role of a bit of a critic, which is necessary, but they must also participate, because nobody limit to say if you are non-profit, you cannot support financially. And being non-profit doesn't mean that you are not making money, or you cannot support technically, or you cannot support in terms of advisory. So yeah, it's 27 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving toward, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 30 minutes there. And you can still engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. You can bring about your questions. You can bring about your contribution, your constructive criticism, and also your point about issues of free tertiary education. And maybe you also ask yourself, if you are given an opportunity to go to university, what are you going to study? If you are given an opportunity to go to vocational training center, what are you going to study? Because there have always been an excuse to say, me, I drop out because I was not able to repay my loan. I drop out because I was having a financial problem. Now education is going to be for free. There are no excuses. But we need to ask the how, the when, the viability, and also the cost. Because remember, when a university is standing, when a vocational training center is standing, there is cost of electricity, it's cost of water, cost of maintenance, there is a cost of operation, there is a cost of system and network. There's a cost of, the workforce itself. You have to pay those professors, those experts. There's a cost of logistics. There's materials. There's insurance too. And there's safety and security. There's an emergency fund. And many other costs that are coming up to run that. And it's billions of dollars. Not just money, but it's real money. And putting that at the shoulders of a government, how strong is it financially? Are the shoulders not going to break? And what is the game plan? Because what we need is a plan. What is the plan? And how should we follow that plan? and where is the funds coming from? So, because I remember, okay, let us look at the NASA application while we are talking about that.
Anna, have you thought about what you're doing next year, my child?
I'm not so sure yet, mommy. I want something that will help me build my future.
Then why not apply to NUST? The Namibia University of Science and Technology's applications are now open.
Really? Do they offer IT and engineering?
Yes, and so much more. They have business, health, science, and media. NUST has exactly what you need.
I'm applying today. NUST, here I come.
Applications for 2026 are now open. Visit www.nust.na to apply. Namibia University of Science and Technology, reinventing the future.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. There was a call online. You can call back. You can call back at 083-288-401. You can call back at 083-288-401. Because your views and your opinions matters. Your views and your opinions matters. Because... Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Shombe.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Let me quickly ramble about what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it may not be all that. I'm just speaking.
Yeah.
Issues of where the money will come from.
Yeah.
And the duration of free tertiary education.
Yeah.
I think it's just a good declaration.
Okay.
Maybe it is up to us to think out of the box and see how will it be implemented.
Mm.
How do we want to complement or supplement that declaration, which is good.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like mothers, ne?
Yeah.
The mothers, they always identify and they know the needs of their children.
Yeah.
We are all in the house now.
Yeah.
And so definitely demonstrating the qualities of our character.
Yeah.
To ensure that, you know, see, one thing that, you know, she has acquired the spirit of Ubuntu. And that philosophy will help assist her in implementing her programmings and plans.
Yeah.
So, but if we let her down, we as parents, even though the education will be free, you say only a few months left.
It's not few, it's two months.
2 months.
Yeah.
Please, it's up to us to prepare our children.
Now who is us now? Is it the executives or the economic?
No, the masses.
The what?
She works with the masses. The masses. The concept she has grabbed is for the masses.
Oh, okay.
For the masses.
Okay.
And the masses must also be convicted. Have that strong conviction.
Yeah.
To promote that leadership vision.
Yeah.
Because many a times, leadership visions and all this programming good things.
Yeah.
Fail because the people are not supporting that good cause.
I hear you.
So now, in for this, our program, it is for us now to provide proper counseling, proper career guidance to our children, looking at what is happening in the market.
Yeah.
Because there are programs that are there which are good, maybe academic programs which are good. Let's take opportunity and see which one, what area is more prioritized.
Uh-huh.
Especially in the tertiary vocational training.
Uh-huh.
So what are we doing? Because normally parents always shame. Now, when the children come, no, you are safe. For 26 points. No, I don't know what I will do with this boy or this girl. Maybe he will go or she will go to VTC. VTC is regarded as a non-entity, something that is non-essential.
Mm-hmm.
We now see. So yeah. The parents play a hindering loss to the future of our children because we discourage them.
Yeah.
We think those things are, those programs are not quality enough. You understand? So most of my people,
yeah,
I enroll them either through the bridging program,
yeah,
NAMCOL or with any other institution, then they find their way to do the higher institution of learning.
Yes. Now, what do you think will happen, especially to NASFAF? Because I was speaking about the student fund, which is a very beautiful office. Well, state of the art, but now it's going to be integrated. What will happen normally when something is integrated, when it was operating as an independent body or as an SOE, when it become a department, are they going to move them from there to the ministry, or is just going to be business as usual? Because my thinking of integration is also reduction of cost and all those things.
Exactly, because most of these things are actually duplication of resources.
Yeah.
If they are duplication of financial resources, the energy, and the integration and proper coordination actually reduce the wastage of resources.
Yeah.
If, for example, the alignment is going to be done properly in that department, when it comes a department, it can still function more effectively than the way it was before.
Mm.
Because sometimes you have a lot of people doing the same thing.
Mm.
If it's a lesson or it's an entity on its own, it has got its own human resource department, administrative clerk, everything is there, which can be done by other people within that big department or whatever they are calling.
Yeah.
So you are actually reducing the wastage of resources. Just align it properly, do the proper alignment, and I'm sure as long as nobody is going to be retrenched there, they can be deployed to other divisions or directorates or sections or whatever. Because we want to come up with a proper integrated management system.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the components of the organization.
But you know what, integration can mean demotion to other people, and those who cannot take it, in most cases they resign, especially top executives.
If you resign, you create more room for other people to come in.
But
maybe you resign, you are not more effective.
No, it's not like that. It doesn't mean that when somebody is resigning, it was not effective. Just maybe.
Okay.
It's not breaking of ingone, but just, somebody, imagine, uncle, you are a CEO, ne? Then I have to make you, a deputy director. And you had all this power. No, I'm not saying there are those who are very humble enough to say, no, let me do it. Or you were a minister, for example. Look at the public enterprise, for example. Then I say, I'm going to integrate you. And, finances, by that, it already has, a deputy minister. You are not going to be an ED. But because you are running that institution, let me create like a directorate for you. Then you are going to be operating under that.
But the salary will not be cut.
No, it will be cut. You are going to garment grade. Yeah.
No. Usually, if you bring that thing, then you bring in the labor issue.
That debate, we are going to continue that debate on another day, because remember, when you are operating in an SOE, when you are at an SOE, imagine, let me give an example of a CEO, of a managing director for NAMCO, for example. It's getting more than 250,000, for example, per month.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say we are integrating that SOE into the Ministry of or we are putting into the Ministry of Mines. That person has to come down to that. You can't operate under an ED and you are getting a salary bigger than an executive director of that ministry. It can't be correct because you are going to come and grade. If you are a deputy director, you are paid like any other else. If you become a chief administrator or chief human resource, you are paid the same as those people because levels are level. Doesn't mean where you come from because you are coming to that grade. Yeah.
I understand, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So usually, I don't know what the legal the legislation will say, how the and what the legal the legislation will say on that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But usually, because it will be a fight.
Yeah.
If you demote somebody in a position, I mean, in the level of the position.
Yeah.
But the wage and salaries and benefits or French benefits.
Yeah.
Because some of those French benefits were just created because of the pause.
Yeah, yeah.
That was necessary by then.
And the environment also.
And the environment also.
Mm-hmm.
If it's no longer necessary, maybe the function that you are doing are now kind of, restructuring. You were talking about International Monetary Fund structure.
No, we are together. I hear you.
So now, if you are to restructure that, and you want to maybe do away with some of this redundant kind of position, and you know that they are not contributing, it's better to continue paying the same salary with that person, placed him in that position, to perform the functions that are assigned to that particular level, then life goes on. Because if you cut that thing, if you cut the salary, that's where you are going to have a legal battle. But if you think you can win that battle, in legal terms, then it's fine. The person I'm working here, you who was the executive director, him performing his or her own functions, maybe added more functions, more the ones that are relevant for you to perform that task, it's fine. But if you tamper with the wage and salary, what is that benefit? If the person doesn't feel, there are people who are not humble.
Yeah.
They feel that you are here now performing this thing, even though your salary is coming as it's not touched, it's not disturbed.
Yeah.
You feel that, we are one as an executive director, now I've become a director. Oh, I mean, can't you be more humble enough and go down?
children.
So these are issues that they need to be discussed at a different level, because I know you don't want to accept it, resign. And if you resign, it's also another way of giving us some kind of break. Because it's very difficult for me to fire you.
Yeah.
Or just to tell you that you go. But if something naturally comes and say, because my salary is big, but my position is low, and then it's up to you to decide.
But I think we are in this situation. I think the effect of income inequality is also playing a major role because we are, the higher we are in terms of the ranks of income inequality, the more troublesome we are, and we cannot also be humble enough. Because remember, I think it's the Deputy Minister of Education, when he came to Parliament, when he came to politics actually, either his Parliament or as a Deputy Minister, he stated that he took a salary cut because he was getting more money actually as investment board than what he is getting now. But he was humble enough to say, it's Dino Barote.
Okay.
He was getting more money than what he's getting now as a minister. I think it's a cut of, 20% or so.
The minister, I think those are political appointees.
No, I don't have a problem with that. I'm talking about the matter of being humble. because that is how things are. Because imagine now, if he was not even a CEO, imagine integrating that institution into the ministry. How is going to shake everything?
No, it's fine. If it touched the bread, you know, if it starts to interfere with some kind of human rights principle.
No, the bread is not, you're talking about the issue of bread and butter here,
you are looking at your own bread. What about the master's bread?
No, it's actually a very good thing. It's actually a very good thing because, there is not a problem when somebody is getting a lot of money in Namibia.
They are getting more money than even the president.
Yeah, the president was not supposed to be getting a lot of money because that is not a career, it's a service.
now if you are arguing from that point, you want money, but the service will should be denied by the people.
But
I think for you, you know better how you maneuver that legal consequences.
Yeah.
So, but it, as long as it's working in the majority of the people.
Yeah, I hear you.
That formula. If it's working on the majority of the people, and you are here looking at your individual interest.
Yeah.
Which is not equivalent to the interest and the concern of the majority.
Yeah.
So maybe there we need to see how the law can guide us there. Maybe you will know better, my friend, than that.
Thank you for input.
Welcome, Mr. Shombe.
All right. Yes, it's 46 minutes past the hour of 7. We are moving, we are progressing at an understandable pace to an 8 o'clock. And we have around 14 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. And it's quite a very interesting conversation. It's a matter of being humble. And it's also a matter of understanding the situation because it's not personal. It's business unusual. It's business unusual. It's not personal. It's business unusual. And we are at the topic of free tertiary education, 100% subsidization. 100% subsidization. What is the formula? Do we have a game plan? And what is the ministry saying, or is still to be done? Because the president has made a communication, and I like what Uncle Bwana have stated. Because with a leader, when you have a vision, you put it on the table. It's up to those who are under you to see: are we getting money from the mine? Are we getting money from tax? Are we getting money from trade? Where are we getting that money? Because remember, there's one presenter who stated that when Donald Trump came to power, the first term when he came to power, he made a strategic decision to say, we are moving away from Paris Agreement on climate and we are going to use all form of energy. He's done. That is what he stated. Now it's up to people under him to say, are we going to balance solar power with coal? Are we going to balance this one with renewable, with non-renewable? It's up to you. What do we have on the grid? What percentage? Because a leader made a strategic decision to say from now on, America is going to remove itself from Paris Agreement. I mean, US is going to remove himself from Paris Agreement. And we are going to use all forms of energy to industrialize. That is done. Okay. Hello?
I forgot to say something about the Palestinian and their liberation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It is just now. The all along.
Yeah.
The Menetumbo, the Tatene, Egagagenkop, all the liberation movement have understood the oppression of the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it's only South Africa, Namibia, who actually went there to fight a legal battle.
During the
struggle, even before we got into our independence, we have been calling about the reform of the United Nations Security Council that you talked about yesterday.
Yeah.
And we have been calling about the independent states of the Palestinians.
Mm.
Just like in Morocco, somewhere there.
But I think Palestine now is going to see the light of the day. But what happened to Western Sahara? Those guys, I think, is <he's> still there.
Western Sahara.
Which I know we are not independent until Western Sahara is independent, but it has been now a long time.
No, we're dealing with that in Morocco. Morocco is not so difficult. It's not like the Palestinian in the East Lyre.
But Palestinian now, even the British themselves, they are saying now we are recognized. It's only America which is not pronouncing.
After people have been massacred, after genocide has been taken place, how are they going to deal with Netanyahu now?
No, that is, I think you're asking a very good question, because it's a question which was asked by one journalist to Secretary General of United Nations. Mm-hmm. Then what he stated is that, because, you know, UN have a lot of, it's a legal question, and there's a legal institution, and there's a legal, independent legal institution that is International Court of Justice. How they are going to do with it? Because remember, you have UN, and you also have International Court of Justice. It's like you have the whole international governance structure, but independent in their nature. Like you have a government at the supranational level. But we see how things are going to happen, because it's not only
let's see. I'll come tomorrow and all these days. I'm always with you. Thank you very much for this informative programs that are coming from Eagle. I don't know how much I can thank Eagle.
No, thank you for your input always, because your input is valuable, and people listen and comment on the input that you also give. But thank you anyway.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
All right, cool. Yes, we have 9 minutes before we come to the end of the conversation. It's quite a loaded conversation. We're speaking about free education. To say a leader made a strategic decision to say this is what is going to happen. It's up to those who are under the leader to say, where are we going to get the money? Because this is the job of a principal financial advisor. And they come and advise the president. It's not the president who have to go and ask questions, because the president has a lot of things to do. Because the schedule is already full until April. It's how you adjust. That is how you adjust. And I was looking at one documentary on, I think it's Billy Clinton who was advising, Western leaders to say, guys, get time for strategic thinking. Because you will be so occupied to that extent that you, by the time you wake up, one term is already finished. That's why we are saying, when a president made the communication, it's people under that sector who have to make sure that they put that into practice, or they come to advise to the president to say, Madam President, you spoke about free education. This is what we have in the coffer. This is the proposal on the table. This is what we have to deal with. Because other than that, the schedule is so tight. Then we end up blaming the president if she put the vision already on the table. What is happening with the Minister of Finance? What's happening with BON? What's happening with the Minister of Education? What is happening with academic institutions such as UNAM and NAST, and even private institutions, private universities? What is happening with them? Because they are all stakeholders in this regard. What is happening with bodies of education when a thing of this nature is proposed? Because it's up to you to restructure, to adjust. Then you ask the question of where the money coming from, how is it going to be utilized, and how Namibian people get education, because everybody want to go to school. Everybody want to study. Everybody want to be equipped so that at least at the end of the day, we see what we can do to advance this country's development. Because at the end of the day, people will keep asking. Remember, there was a proposal during a campaign to say after elections, we are going to increase the pension of old age grant. Then the person has to come to say, due to the situation on the ground, this is not going to happen now, but it will happen later. That to me is a decision informed by data. Because yes, we want, but this was what was going to happen. Then I also want to see the concept of free education, to see what are these people who are in this sector doing? What are these people who are in this sector doing? And is it a real deal? And when you look at Morocco, when you look at Egypt, when you look at countries such as Philippines, Finland, they create a portion, not more than 10% of their GDP, to tertiary education. And people are thriving. They are prioritizing their citizens first. And it's a conversation that we need to look into. And to everybody who follow national politics and also national development, it's also very important to track down development and also link between political communication, policy planning and implementation. Because with that, you can also be able to see where we are lacking. Is it us citizens who are not doing our job? Or is it the implementer or the policy makers? Because at the end of the day, the whole chain must move. This has to be a coordinated work. Is it us, the media, who are not doing our job to ask those questions? Or are the parents who are just saying, oh, thank you, our kids are going to school, but they are not asking, what is the game plan? What can they do? So we have around 3 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation, before we come to unpacking the day. We have around 3 minutes before we give the mic to my colleague who is going to unpack the day. And as we are always indicating to you, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And do not forget today is Wednesday, 24th of September 2025. And our e-paper is out, as I indicated to you. Make sure that you go through the Villager newspaper. Go through the Villager newspaper. And it's quite interesting development, especially when it's coming to value addition. When you look at the front page of the Villager newspaper for today, which I'm encouraging you to go and read. You have to look at farmers and also the issues of processing centers. Talking about the issues of value addition. We're speaking about the issues of value addition. It's up to you to go and read. And it's also up to you to go and check this advertisement. As we are always indicating to you, other businesses are expanding their wings. And they are also expanding their revenue through advertisement. And this advertisement is a sale on ShopRite there. Sale on ShopRite. Go and buy your food and also your drinks. Because at the end of the day, you must eat. It's quite cheap meat there. Quite cheap meat and also drinks. Make sure that you prioritize that. It's quite a very interesting also article about allocation of capital, no formula for allocation of capital to fund to regions. It's quite a very interesting article by Nino Menwa Ngala. It's an advertisement from Vervicia and many other articles. It's quite an article also by Anakreta Ikela there. On 209 schools in national are struggling with overcrowding. We speak about teacher employment. There's also an overcrowding of classes. I think it's something that we need to look into. So, dear listeners, you can also be able to get also opportunity to read on sport news regarding cycling and cycling championship. By HD there. And it's quite a loaded newspaper. It's quite a loaded newspaper. That's why this is a newspaper that you do not need to miss, especially this Wednesday when it's coming to development. So to subscribe to the Villager newspaper, you must send your name to this number and save that as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-200-4144. And you can also follow the link online, like and share the page. So I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshoveri. To unpack the day. And from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, bye-bye for now.